Hare Krishna. Today's class is given by His Grace Adigadadhar Prabhu. Prabhuji, can you take over this call, Prabhu?
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Anjana Gopika Mataji. My humble obeisances to you. Hare Krishna. So today we are continuing our study of Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and today we will be studying one verse. This is Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj, Madhya Leela, chapter 22nd, verse number, is it 40 or 41?
40.
Verse number 40. Thank you, Prithi Vilasini Mataji. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is instructing about the process of devotional service. So, we will read about this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, and he's quoting this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Mahaprabhu says, Satyam Vishat Arthitam Arthiton Rinam नैवार्थ दोयात् पुनरर्थितायतः स्वयं विधत्ते भजताम अनिच्छताम् इच्छापिधानं निजपादपल्लवम् सत्यं दिशत् अर्थितम् अर्थितो नृणाम् नैवार्थ दोयात् पुनरर्थितायथ स्वयं विधत्ते भजताम अनिच्छताम् इच्छापिधानं निजपादपल्लवम् सत्यं दिशत् अर्थितमर्थितो नृणाम् नैवार्थ दोयात् पुनरर्थितायथ स्वयं विधत्ते भजताम अनिच्छताम् इच्छापिधानं निजपादपल्लवम् वर्ड टू वर्ड सत्यम् इट इज ट्रू दिशति ही अवार्ड्स अर्थितम् दैट विच इज डिजायर्ड अर्थितः बीइंग रिक्वेस्टेड नृणाम बाय ह्यूमन बीइंग्स No, not, eva, certainly, arthadaha, giving desired things, yat, which, punaha, again, arthita, request, yataha, from which, swayam, himself, vidhate, he gives, bhajatam, of those engaged in devotional service, anichhatam, even though not desiring, ichha, pidhanam, covering all other desires, Nija Pada Pallavam, the shelter of his own lotus feet. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Abhay Charana Aravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Translation, whenever Krishna is requested to fulfill one's desire, he undoubtedly does so, but he does not award anything which, after being enjoyed, will cause one to petition him again and again to fulfill further desires. When one has other desires but engages in the Lord's service, Krishna forcibly gives one shelter at his lotus feet where one will forget all other desires. Purport, this is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 19th, verse number 27. So we read this verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, Chapter 22, verse number 40 today. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is instructing our Sambandha Acharya Srila Sanatana Goswami about the science of devotional service, about the sweetness of devotional service, the sweetness of Krishna consciousness. And he's quoting this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. So because Srila Prabhupada has already given an elaborate purport to this verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada simply writes that this verse is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 5.19.27. And the purport ends here. So let us go to the purport of 5.19.27 and read Srila Prabhupada's purport over there. Purport. The devotees mentioned in the previous verse approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead with material motives. But this verse explains how such devotees are saved from those desires. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.10 advises, Akama sarva kamo va moksha kama udaradi vivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whether one is freed from all material desires, is full of material desires, or desires to become one with the Supreme, he should engage in devotional service. In this way, not only will the devotee's desires be fulfilled, but the day will come when he will have no other desire than to serve the lotus feet of the Lord. One who engages in the service of the Lord with some motive is called Sakama Bhakta. And one who serves the Lord without any motives is called Akama Bhakta. Krishna is so merciful that he turns a Sakama Bhakta into an Akama Bhakta. A pure devotee, an Akama Bhakta, who has no material motives, is satisfied simply to serve the lotus feet of the Lord. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 6.22. Yam labdhva chaparam labham manyate nadhikam tatah. If one engages in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, he does not want anything more. This is the highest stage of devotional service. The Lord is so kind even to a sakama bhakta, a motivated devotee, that he satisfies his desires in such a way that one day he becomes an akama bhakta. Dhruva Maharaj, for example, became a bhakta with the motive of getting a better kingdom than that of his father. But finally, he became an akama bhakta and said to the Lord, Swamin krithartosmin varam na yache. My dear Lord, I am very satisfied simply to serve your lotus feet. I do not want any material benefits. Sometimes it is found that a small child eats dirty things, but his parents take away the dirty things and offer him a sandesh or some other sweet meat. Devotees who aspire for material benedictions are compared to such children. The Lord is so kind that he takes away their material desires and gives them the highest benediction. Therefore, even for material motives, one should not worship anyone other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One must fully engage himself in the devotional service of the Lord so that all his desires will be fulfilled and at the end he can go back home, back to Godhead. This is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, chapter 22, 37-41 as follows. So just see, this is Prabhupada's purport to Bhagavatam 5th canto, and here Prabhupada is referring to the same verse that we are studying in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he's explaining, Anya Kami, a devotee may desire something other than service to the lotus feet of the Lord. This is called Anya Kami. A devotee desires something other than service to the lotus feet of the Lord. Yadi kare Krishnera bhajan. But if he engages in Lord Krishna's service, na magitheha Krishna tare dena swa charana. Krishna gives him shelter at his lotus feet even though he does not aspire for it. Krishna kohe, the Lord says, Ama bhaje, he is engaged in my service. Mage vishaya sukha, but he wants the benefits of material sense gratification. Amrita chhadi visha mage, Such a devotee is like a person who asks for poison instead of nectar. Ei bada murkha. That is his foolishness. Ami vidnya, but I am experienced. Ei murkhe vishaya kene diba. Why should I give such a foolish person the dirty things of material enjoyment? Sva charana mrita. It would be better for me to give him shelter at my lotus feet. Vishaya bhuli aibe. I shall cause him to forget all material desires. Kama lagi Krishna bhaje. If one engages in the service of the Lord for sense gratification, paya Krishna rase. The result is that he ultimately gets a taste for serving the lotus feet of the Lord. Kama chhadi the haite haya abhilashe. Then he gives up all material desires and wants to become an eternal servant of the Lord. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarune Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Krishna Namaha Pancha Tattva Atmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinamandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. I offer my humble obeisances at the lotus feet of all the devotees who are listening. I also beg and pray at your lotus feet to please shower your blessings and permission and good wishes upon me so that on this auspicious tithi of Shri Ram Vijay Utsav and the Avirbhav tithi of Shripad Madhvacharya, for the next few minutes, by the power of your blessings and by the power of your eagerness to hear Krishna Katha, may I become empowered just for a few minutes so that I speak words which are pleasing to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. And by hearing these words, may our hearts become purified and may our hearts become attracted to the beautiful lotus feet of Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Hare Krishna. So today we are continuing our study of Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita by Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj. And we are reading these wonderful instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his dear devotee and disciple, Srila Sanatana Goswami. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving so many beautiful instructions. And in this chapter, the whole chapter is describing the glories of devotional service. The chapter before this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described the sweetness of the Supreme Absolute Truth, Vrajendra Nandan Shri Krishna Bhagavan. And in this chapter, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is describing through the pages of Chaitanya Charitamrita the beauty of devotional service. So in this verse which we read today, it is this, Krishna is revealing his heart. Krishna is revealing his thoughts, that what Krishna thinks when a devotee approaches him with material desires. Krishna thinks, just look at this murkha, just look at this foolish person. He's asking me for poison. He's giving up amrit, nectar, and he's asking me for poison. But at least he is worshipping me. So let me take away the poison from his life. Sarva Amangala Hari. Hari is one who steals away all inauspiciousness from our life. Krishna thinks, let me take away all inauspiciousness, all poison from the life of this devotee, and let me give him the nectar of devotion unto my lotus feet. The supreme shelter of Abhay Charan Aravinda. The supreme shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. This is Krishna's heart. This is what Krishna thinks. And today is the very, very auspicious tithi of Ram Vijay Utsav. It is also the appearance day of our Acharya, Shripad Madhvacharya, in whose sampradaya Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted initiation. Therefore, our sampradaya is called Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. It is his appearance day today. And today is also the divine disappearance day, the Tirobhav Tithi of His Holiness Bhakti Swarup Damodar Goswami Maharaj, a very dear disciple of Srila Prabhupada. So it is a very, very auspicious day today, and it is my great honor and great fortune to have this opportunity to serve all of you in this humble way. So just like Krishna in today's verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita, just like Krishna is saying that I will give this devotee the shelter of my lotus feet, similarly, the same Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who in Dwapar Yuga had appeared as Krishna in the previous yuga of Treta Yuga had appeared as Shri Ram. And just before beginning the war, he had blessed Vibhishan.
Sorry to interrupt you, Prabhuji, could you please speak little louder?
Yes, Mataji. Is it better now?
Okay, Prabhuji, fine.
So, when Lord Ramchandra was about to attack Lanka, Vibhishan came and he took shelter of Lord Ram. We have discussed this in the previous classes, but I will just summarize. Lord Ramchandra, in the presence of Vibhishan, in the presence of Sugriv, Hanuman, Angad, the entire Vanar Sena, he made a solemn vow, which is forever recorded in the Ramayana. Lord Ramchandra took a vow. Sakrid eva prapannoyam tavasmiti sayachate abhayam sarvada tasmai dadami etadvratam mama. That sakrid, even if once a devotee comes and petitions me, begs me, does yachana, that tava asmi, I am yours, my Lord, I am yours. Tava asmi ti sa yachate abhayam sarvada tasmai dadami. To such a person, dadami, I give abhayam sarvada, I give eternal fearlessness, eternal protection, eternal ashray to such a devotee. Vratam mama. And this is my vow. This is my promise. Just once, if sincerely we pray to Krishna, we petition to, yachana is a very strong word. Yachana doesn't mean we just speak it. Yachana carries a lot of emotion. If with great feeling, great emotion, we really mean it and we beg Krishna, that Krishna, I am so sinful. I have gone through so many situations in life. I have committed so many offenses. I have committed so many sins. But whatever I am yours. Please accept me. Once a devotee gifted me a Shaligram Shila. It is a Parashuram Shaligram Shila. And on one side, the Shila is chipped. It is broken. Khandit. So, I showed this Shila to another devotee for identification. And he looked at the Shila, he said, don't worship the Shila. There must be some river near Atlanta, just put the Shila in the river. Shaligram loves water, just put him in some river because he's broken. This Shila is not suitable for worship. When that devotee told me, he told me through message on WhatsApp, my heart was so broken. I just deleted those messages. And I was thinking that I have got so many faults. Yet, every day when we chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, we are praying to Krishna, we are praying to Srimati Radharani to accept us. And not only accept us, but to engage us in their service. Their service is very sacred. Their service is very confidential. And we have the audacity to to chant this Hare Krishna Mahamantra and ask Radha and Krishna to engage us in their sacred, holy, transcendental, confidential service. Yet, we want to reject the Shaligram Shila, which has got a small injury. Just look at us, how cruel, how wicked we are. We want Krishna to accept us with all our faults, but we don't want to accept Krishna when there is some apparent discrepancy in his appearance. So that Shila is still very much, I'm very grateful to serve that Shaligram Shila every day. So the Supreme Lord is so merciful that he accepts us with all our faults. And similarly, if we have some Shaligram Shila, some deity, some photograph of Krishna, which has got some apparent external defect, we can still worship with all our devotion. Bhava Grahi Janardhan, Krishna is accepting our devotion. Through the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam and through the pages of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrit, these are our main scriptures, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrit. And all these three scriptures are giving us Krishna Bhakti. So why should we discuss about Lord Ram? Why should we discuss about Narasimha Bhagwan? Isn't it enough to just talk about Krishna? There is so much to discuss about Krishna. There is so much to discuss about Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Why should we discuss about Lord Ram? I was thinking about this today. Because when Priti Vilasini Mataji gave me the service, she reminded me that it is also going to be Ram Vijay Utsav and the Avirbhav Tithi of Shripad Madhvacharya. So I was thinking, why should we discuss about Lord Ram? I will just share a few thoughts. Narasimha Bhagwan from Satya Yuga, Shri Ram from Treta Yuga are non-different from Krishna, who is non-different from Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And Krishna himself is teaching this lesson to us. There is so much connection between Narasimha Leela, Ram Leela, Krishna Leela and Gaura Leela. When the devotees were being threatened by the Yavana rulers of Navadvip just 500 years ago, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reassured his devotees that don't worry, I will protect you. In Srivasangan, he assumed the mood of Narasimha Bhagwan. I will protect you. I will protect you. Don't worry. Not only that, he appeared in the dream of Chand Kazi as Narasimha Bhagwan, Narahari. And he punished him and warned him and ordered him to protect the devotees, to protect the Sankirtan. So Narasimha Bhagwan is there in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in Gaur Leela. Lord Ramchandra is there. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he embraced those trees which had previously been pierced by the arrows of Lord Ram when Lord Ramchandra at Kishkindha Kshetra had desired to show his strength to assure the doubtful friend Sugriv. Sugriv was very doubtful about Lord Ram's strength. To assure him, Lord Ramchandra pierced that arrow through those huge trees just to reassure Sugriv. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came 500 years ago in Kali Yuga, he embraced those trees and dispatched those trees to the spiritual world. To Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed his most beautiful form as Shadabhuj Gauranga, six-armed form of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Two arms are holding kodanda, bow and arrow. Two arms are playing the flute. And two arms are holding the kamandalu and the sannyas danda of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is a combined form of Shri Ram, Shri Krishna and Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So there are references to Rama and to Ram Leela throughout Gaur Leela. Even Krishna Leela, the Dandakaranya rishis, they came as gopis of Vrindavan because they had desired to give up their male bodies as rishis. When they saw the beauty of Lord Ramchandra, they wanted to serve Sita and Ram in Madhurya Ras because they saw Sita and Ram together and they desired that we want to serve Sita and Ram in the Madhurya Ras because Mother Sita is in Madhurya Ras, so they wanted to assist Sita and Ram in the Madhurya Ras. But how can Lord Ramchandra accept, who is Ek Patni Vrata? So he, in their hearts, he assured them that you have been initiated by Narad Muni. The guru of those Dandakaranya rishis was Shripad Narad Muni. Lord Ramchandra communicated to them in their heart to heart, that you are disciples of Narad Muni. And many, many centuries ago, my dear devotee Narad Muni gave all of you Diksha in the Gopal Mantra. And for all these years, you have been faithfully chanting the Gopal Mantra, which you have received from Narad Muni. And today, by seeing my beauty, you have become transcendentally attracted to me. And you want to serve Sita Devi. But you cannot serve Sita Devi in your male bodies. So I will give all of you a chance to serve me under the direction of Sita Devi. But not now. In the next yuga, I will come back as Vrajendra Nandana Krishna in Vrindavan. And Srimati Sita Devi will come as Srimati Radharani. And all of you will be born as the gopis in Vrindavan. And you will all be able to serve me in the Madhurya Ras. So there is so much connection between Ram Leela, Narasimha Leela, Krishna Leela and Gaur Leela. So as devotees, we should see this connection. And specifically talking about Narasimha Leela is very uplifting. Why? Because Narasimha Leela, the whole seventh canto, speaks about the glories of Prahlad Maharaj. And Prahlad Maharaj is Bhakta Shiromani. He's a topmost devotee. He's a topmost preacher of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, our Srila Prabhupada, they all gave so much importance to Prahlad Charitra, Dhruva Charitra. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that before reading the Dasham Skanda, you must master Dhruva Charitra and Prahlad Charitra. Because you understand what are the qualities that a devotee should aspire for, how a devotee should behave, and how one should preach. Everything is there. Why should we read Ram Leela? Because Lord Ramchandra came as a human being. Human being. Human-like body. Therefore, there are a lot of things that Lord Ramchandra did which we can learn from. That is why it is important to talk, discuss and study about Lord Ram and Lord Narasimhadev. From Narasimhadev's Leela, we get inspiration, guidance and learn from Prahlad Maharaj. And from Ram Leela, because Lord Ramchandra is a Leela avatar, he is doing Leela as a human being, we can learn a lot of things which can be applied in our human life. We can learn from Lord Ram. And we will look at a few points. From today's verse, we see how Krishna uplifts and purifies a devotee who approaches him with desires. Now, talking about Ram Leela, who comes to mind? Who is that devotee of Lord Ram who approached Lord Ram with desires but was purified? One such example is Sugriv. The friendship of Ram and Sugriv initially was based on mutual benefit. You scratch my back and I will scratch your back, as they say. Sugriv could empathize with Lord Ram's predicament because his wife was taken away by his elder brother Wali. Sugriv had lost his home. Lord Ramchandra promised him, I will remove Wali and I will install you as the king of Kishkinda. So it was a benefit for Sugriv. Oh, I will regain my wife. I will regain my kingdom. I will get freedom from the threat of Wali. And in turn, Sugriv promised Lord Ram that if I get my wife back, if I get my kingdom back, if you kill Wali, then I will help you find Srimati Sita Devi. So Sugriv entered into the pact of friendship with Lord Ram for some benefit, some material benefit. But very soon, he was in love with Lord Ram. And we can see when Lord Ramchandra wound up his Leela in this material world and he was going back to the eternal Ayodhya in the spiritual world, he called for all his devotees. He called for Vibhishan, he called for Hanumanji, he called for Sugriv. And Sugriv had a very, very beautiful, prosperous kingdom. But what did Sugriv say? My dear Lord, without you, this kingdom, this opulence has no value. I don't want to stay here on this earth planet as a king. I want to come with you to the spiritual world. And he went back to the spiritual world with Lord Ram, which means he was purified. He was purified. His desire to have kingdom and material opulences was completely purified. And now he just wanted to serve Lord Ram. So today is the day when Lord Ram killed the demon, the king of the demons, Ravan. We have also, because Lord Ram was performing his Leela as a human being, therefore we can follow in his footsteps. We should follow in his footsteps. So Lord Ram killed the king of demons, Ravan. Similarly, we also have to kill the demon within our heart, Ravan. Trividham narakashedam dwaram nashanam atmana kama krodha tatha lobhas tasmadetam prayam tyajet. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, he instructs us that trividham narakashedam, there are three gates to hell: kama krodha tatha lobhas, lust, anger and greed. Tasmad etat trayam tyajet. We have to give up these three enemies. And all these anarthas that are within us, they are represented by this demon king, Ravan. How was Ravan a personification of lust? Because he assaulted Rambha, the consort of Nalakuver, the son of Kuver. He tried to attack Vedavati. And he wanted to enjoy Srimati Sita Devi and he abducted her, all out of lust, kama, krodh. How is Ravana personification of anger, krodh? When Indrajit was killed by Lakshman, what was the reaction of Ravan? He felt bereaved. He felt very sad at the loss of his son. But his immediate next reaction was anger. He became extremely angry. He pulled out his mighty sword and rushed to the Ashoka garden where Srimati Sita Devi was sitting. And he attacked her, tried to kill her, saying that my eldest son Indrajit has been slain. He is dead and you are responsible for his death. Just see how demoniac is Ravan. He is the one who abducted Sita. He is the one who refused to give Sita back when Hanuman was pleading as the peace messenger. Ravan is the one who sent Indrajit to the war. Yet, when Indrajit was killed by Lakshman, Ravan is blaming Sita. This is anger. We are completely bewildered when we are angry. We lose all our sense. Just see, he is blaming Sita for the death of Indrajit, whereas he himself was solely responsible. Ram, Sita, Lakshman were peacefully living in the forest. And he came, abducted Sita, and caused the destruction of his whole dynasty. Yet he is blaming Sita, he is angry at Sita, and he wants to kill Sita. Somehow Mandodari, she pleaded with him and somehow dissuaded him from attacking Sita Devi. But this is anger. So Ravan was personification of anger. When he saw that Vibhishan was assisting Lord Ram in the war against him, he was so livid, he was so angry. He tried to kill Vibhishan, but somehow Lakshman saved Vibhishan's life. This is anger. How is Ravan a personification of greed? Lobh. He had so much, but yet he took away the Pushpak Viman, the Pushpak aeroplane of Kuber. Not only that, he stole so much wealth from so many kings, so many demigods. This is proof. This is proof that he was a personification of greed. His senses were completely uncontrolled. Totally uncontrolled. That was Ravan. Similarly, these anarthas are within our heart also. Lust, anger, greed, pride, false ego, and envy. Therefore, we all have to learn a lesson from Lord Ram and try our best to kill the Ravan within. So the next question is, how do we kill the Ravan within? How to kill Ravan within? Again, because Lord Ram is performing his Leela in the form of a human, we can try and learn from Ram how to kill this enemy, Ravan, within all of us. The war is happening inside us, not outside. We should not blame others for our anger. We should not blame others for our lust. We should not blame others for our greed. Oh, he spoke to me rudely, that's why I am angry. Oh, that person is not dressing up properly, that's why I am lusty. Oh, that person is giving me bribe, that person is tempting me,
That's why I'm greedy. Or these people are praising me. That's why I became proud. Or this person is so successful and my success has been hampered by this person. That's why I became a little envious. No, we cannot blame others for our anarthas. The war is within. So let us see from the example of Lord Ram how to kill this Ravan who is representing all the anarthas in our heart. How to kill all these anarthas. The first lesson we learn is with great effort. Killing Ravan was not easy for Ram. Now again, Lord Ram is a supreme personality of Godhead, but he is performing his lila as a human being. That's why we are taking his human example to learn lessons for our human life. So first lesson is, Lord Ram killed Ravan with tremendous effort. It was not easy. He had to first find where Sita is, find where Ravan is. He had to wait patiently. Then he found, then he had to trek all the way to South India. Then he had to build that huge bridge. He had to fight a war which lasted for so many days. And finally, after a long, laborious, dangerous war, he was able to kill Ravan. So first lesson is, we can kill Ravan with great effort, which means we have to make great effort. We must wake up in the morning. We must chant our Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We must chant our prescribed number of rounds, minimum 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra at the most favorable part of the day, which is early morning, Brahma Murta. We must chant. We must take efforts to associate with devotees. We must take efforts to study the scriptures, to hear about the scriptures from devotees. We must take efforts to honor Krishna Prasad. We must take efforts to do deity worship. This whole process that has been given to us, the process of bhakti, with great effort, we must execute it. The next lesson we learn is tremendous risk. Lord Ramchandra, he fought this war against Ravan at so much risk. So much risk. His own younger dear brother Lakshman, he was injured. He almost fell down lifeless. So much risk, risking the lives of his devotees and friends like Sugriv, Angad. So many monkeys were killed. So much risk Lord Ramchandra took. As a human being, even his own life was at risk. So we have to understand that even in Krishna consciousness, we will have to take a risk. We will have to take a risk. It may be a risk of giving up a nice, high-paying job because that job is not favorable for the practice of bhakti. Because of whatever reasons, the work that is involved, the long hours that are involved, if it is counterproductive to our sadhana, then giving up such an opportunity may be a risk, but it is a risk that we must take if we are serious in Krishna consciousness. If we are serious in Krishna consciousness. So one lesson we learn is risk. Lord Ram took great risk. The next is, he did not force anyone to help him. This is very interesting. In Ramayana, you will never find that Lord Ramchandra coerced someone or forced someone or tricked someone into helping him. Only those people who promised to help him, only those devotees who volunteered to help him. Lord Ramchandra engaged them in his service. So this is very important. In our bhakti, we should not criticize and blame others because they are not helping us, they are not serving us. If someone wants to serve us, if someone is meant to serve us or help us, Krishna will arrange. But we cannot blame others. Oh, this program failed, this project was not successful because these people did not help me, they did not assist me. Such an attitude is not healthy for our bhakti. Lord Ram never forced anybody to help. At the same time, he took help from lot of great sources. For example, the weapon that Lord Ram used finally to kill Ravan, that weapon was empowered with the Aditya Hriday mantra. This mantra invokes the strength of the sun god, who in turn receives the strength from Lord Vishnu. So essentially, it is the strength of Vishnu. But Lord Ram received this mantra, this weapon, from Agastya Rishi. So Agastya Rishi was like his guru. And he gave this astra to Lord Ram. Then Lord Ramchandra not only accepted help from his guru Agastya Rishi, but he also accepted help from the devtas, the king of devtas, Indradev. Indradev gave his own chariot because he saw that the battle was unequal. Ravan was seated on his mighty chariot and Lord Ramchandra was standing on his own feet and fighting without any vehicle. So Indradev took the risk and gave his own chariot to Lord Ram. Why risk? Because Ravan was watching that this Indradev, who in the past was utterly defeated by my son Indrajit, now has the audacity to offer help to my enemy Ram. But Indra took that risk. Not only that, he gave Matali, his own chariot driver also, to Lord Ram. So his chariot and chariot driver both were given by Indra to Lord Ram. So Lord Ram is teaching that he took help from the devtas. In Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna gives us such a nice prescription of how to live a simple life with high thinking. And he says that with cooperation with the demigods, prosperity will reign for everyone. So we have to live in harmony with Krishna's servants. So that is another lesson we learn, that he took help from the devtas, the demigods. He took help from Hanuman. He took help from Angad. He took help from Sugriv, which means he took help from his well-wishers and his friends and devotees. Similarly, in our Krishna consciousness, we should also be very grateful to accept guidance, help, encouragement from our friends and well-wishers. We should not think that I can do it alone. Ekakiya amar nahi paya bala, hari nama sankirtane, Bhakti Vinod Thakur says. So this is what we can learn from Lord Ram. It is very interesting. I was reading Valmiki Ramayana just for a few minutes this morning. One passage, it really struck a chord with me. Valmiki Muni describes in Valmiki Ramayana that when the battle between Ravan and Ram was going on, the devatas, the demigods, were praying and offering benedictions and offering their blessings upon Shri Ram. At the same time when this battle was going on, the daityas, the demons, were offering all benedictions and they were praying for the success of Ravan. The Ramayana describes this, that the demigods were blessing Ram and the demons were praying for Ravan, their king. So what do we learn from this? That there will always be forces around us which will encourage us, and there will be forces around us which will discourage us. Materialistic life, materialistic temptations. There are so many things around us, so many TV channels, so many magazines, so many novels, so many materialistic festivals, so many parties, so many celebrations, which simply steal away our precious time, simply distract us. They are like the demoniac forces which are empowering, trying to empower the Ravan within us. At the same time, there is ISKCON desire tree, there are the ISKCON temples, there are the beautiful books of Srila Prabhupada. There are so many wonderful things going on around us. If we tune in into these positive things, which are teaching us the science of devotional service, the science of Krishna consciousness, we are empowering the Ram within us. So this was one reflection. So there are always these two teams around us. The team of our friends, which are Krishna conscious friends, and there's a team of our foes, which simply distract us from Krishna consciousness. The next lesson we learn from Ram Vijay Vijayadashmi is the attitude of Ram after he killed Ravan. You see, Lord Ramchandra, the battle is very beautiful. We don't have time to describe it, but still we will describe it. Because in Valmiki Ramayana, Lord Ramchandra, before beginning his fight with Ravan, Lord Ramchandra takes another vow, takes another promise. And this promise is for all of us, you and me. These are Lord Ramchandra's words. Lord Ram says,
Sadevaha kathayishyanti yavad bhumir dharishyati samagamya sada loke yatha yuddham pravartitam.
That sadeva katha yishyanti, that this katha of my yuddha with Ravan, this will be read, remembered, spoken forever. Sadeva. Where? On bhumi, on this earth planet. As long as this earth planet exists, until then, this battle that I am going to have with Ravan now will be remembered and will be spoken. So out of our love for Lord Ram and out of our love for Lord Ram's promise that my descriptions of my battle with Ravan will be discussed on this earth planet as long as the earth planet remains, we must talk about the fight between Ravan and Ram. Sri Ramayana describes that the battle between Ravan and Ram cannot be compared to any other battle. It is in a class in itself. It's in a completely distinct category. Cannot be compared. Ravan was such a mighty warrior, and Lord Ram is performing his Leela as a human being. What a fight it was. Initially, Ravan shot an arrow at Lord Ram, which was the Sarpa Astra. It was the weapon made of poisonous serpents. From this arrow came hundreds and thousands of poisonous snakes which could fly. They had mighty fangs, and fire was emanating from their mouths, the fire of poison. And they came flying towards Lord Ram. And Lord Ram immediately released the Garuda Astra, the weapon of Garudji. And from this Garuda Astra, innumerable transcendental eagles manifested. And these eagles very easily, with great delight, with their powerful talons, they feasted on these snakes. And all the snakes were killed. In this way, the description goes of the fight between Ravan and Ram. Finally, Lord Ram, he shot an arrow which split into 10 arrows. Very sharp arrows. It had a crescent tip. And Lord Ram chopped off all the 10 heads of Ravan.
Vitarasi dikshurane dikpati kamaniyam dashamukha mauli balim ramaniyam keshavadrita rama sharira jaya jagadisha hare jaya jagadisha hare jaya jagadisha hare.
We do grantha vitaran, pustak, you know, book distribution. Vitara means, vitarana means to distribute.
Vitarashi dikshu rane,
rane means ranbhumi, the battlefield. Jayadeva Goswami is describing in his Dashavatar Stotra.
Vitarasi dikshu rane digpati kamaniyam.
Digpati are the, there are 10 directions. There is north, south, east, west, 4 directions. And there are 4 directions in between them, northeast, southwest, like that. So there are 8 directions, then 1 direction up, 1 direction down. In this way, there are 10 directions. And there are digpatis, demigods in charge of all these 10 directions. And it was their kamana, it was their desire to see this evil, wicked king of demons, Ravan, beheaded. So, to fulfill their kamana, to fulfill their desire,
Vitarasi dikshu rane digpati kamaniyam dashamukha mauli balim ramaniyam.
Lord Ramchandra chopped off the 10 heads and distributed them in 10 directions. Ramaniyam, to give happiness to the digpatis. The predominating deity is the 10 directions. Lord Ram, his name is Ram. He gives so much pleasure. He is a reservoir of all pleasure. He gave pleasure to them by Dashamukha, Ravan is Dashamukha, by throwing, distributing his head, 10 heads in the 10 directions.
Vitarasi dikshu rane dikpati kamaniyam dashamukha mauli balim ramaniyam.
Like that. So he did that. But what happened? Immediately, 10 new heads came up. And Lord Ramchandra again released that arrow, which split into 10 arrows and chopped off all the 10 heads of Ravan. But again the 10 heads appeared. I was listening to a lecture by His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj yesterday. And Maharaj was, the lecture is called Destroying the Ravana Within. Whatever I'm speaking, I'm just trying to repeat words from wherever I've heard. So Radhanath Maharaj was making these, he was imitating these sounds. So Ram's arrow flew towards Ravan with great speed. Radhanath Maharaj was making that noise. And then he made a noise of his 10 heads being chopped off. And then when they came back, Radhanath Maharaj made the noise. Whoop! Again the heads came out. Like that, for everything, he was making these sounds. And then in the end, when he was describing Ravan Vadh, Radhanath Maharaj described it, the arrow came flying towards Ravan. Lord Ramchandra took a special arrow and he chanted the Aditya Hriday mantra that he had received from Agastya Muni. And he empowered this arrow with that mantra and he placed it on his mighty bow. The tip of this arrow had the effulgence of sun. The predominating deity of sun was sitting at the tip of this arrow. The shaft of the arrow was predominated by Vayudev, the wind god. So fast, so powerful, Vayudev. And then the plumes of this mighty arrow were predominated by Agnidev. The plumes of this arrow were brilliant like Agni. And then on top of all this, Lord Ramchandra empowered this mighty arrow with the Brahmastra, and then he put it on his bow and pulled it all the way back. And Vibhishan had whispered into Ram's ears that no matter how many times you chop off Ravan's arms and heads, he will not die, because there is nectar, amrit, hidden in his heart. So therefore you have to hit an arrow straight into his heart. Only then he will die. So just see, Lord Ram took help from his friend and devotee Vibhishan also. So similarly, we also need help from our friends, our devotee friends. And Lord Ramchandra remembered this instruction of Vibhishan, and he aimed this most powerful arrow at the heart of Ravan, and with full speed he released that arrow. And that arrow, which was so brilliant, so effulgent, that the demons and the Vanarsena, nobody could look at that arrow. It was so brilliant, so effulgent. And that arrow pierced the heart of Ravan and completely destroyed that reservoir of Amrit in his heart. And when Lord Ram's arrow pierced the heart of Ravan, Ravan, who was known for his loud screaming, and he was famous for making others cry, this Ravan let out a very loud cry. So until now in the lecture, Radhanath Maharaj was imitating all the sounds, all the noises. And when Radhanath Maharaj said, and as soon as that arrow pierced the heart of Ravan, Ravan let out a loud cry, such a cry, this cry was never heard in all the three worlds. A very loud cry which shook all the planets. And then Radhanath Maharaj said, I will not even try to imitate that scream. So anyway, so this arrow, it pierced the heart of Ravan and killed Ravan. And when Ravan fell down to the earth, what did Lord Ram instruct Vibhishan? When Ravan was dead, Lord Ram instructed Vibhishan, which is very significant. He said, Mahatma bala sampanno Ravano loka Ravanaha Maranantani vairani nivruttamna prayojanam. Lord Ramchandra said that Mahatma bala sampanno, this Ravan was very great personality, and he was endowed with tremendous strength. Bala sampanno Ravano loka Ravanaha. Such a beautiful word, verse. Ravano loka Ravanaha. That this Ravan, who was famous for making all the people cry. Loka means people, Ravana means to cry. So Ravano loka Ravanaha. He used to take great pleasure in making everyone cry. Maranam tani vairani. But Lord Ramchandra says, when the body dies, our vairya, our enmity also dies. Maranantani vairani. Nivruttam na prayojanam. And whatever was our desire, our prayojan, that has been achieved. Our purpose has been achieved. So now that his body is dead, our enmity is also finished. Please do the last rites with all respects for your elder brother, Ravan. He tells Vibhishan. So this is a very, very interesting verse which shows the attitude of Lord Ram. Lord Ram was not bitter towards Ravan. He was not killing him out of frustration or out of vengeance or out of spite. Lord Ram had a very clean heart, had very pure intentions, and that is visible through this verse. He instructed Vibhishan like this. Now forget all enmity. Forget all enmity. And also, what was the attitude of Ram towards Lanka after Ravan was killed? That is very interesting also. He did not enjoy Lanka. In fact, he did not even enjoy there for one day. he had killed the king of Lanka. So by the Kshatriya rules, he becomes the next king. One who kills the king becomes the king. So Lord Ram had full right to enjoy Lanka, full right to enjoy Mandodari and the other consorts of Ravan. But he did not do that. Mandodari was so beautiful. It is described that Mandodari was the daughter of Maya Danav. Maya Danav had used all his powers to create the most exquisitely beautiful lady. And seeing the power of Ravan, when Ravan demanded his daughter as his wife, he gave her in marriage to Ravan. So Lord Ram could have enjoyed all the wealth of Lanka, all the opulences of Lanka, and Ravan's multiple wives. But of course, Lord Ram, not even for a moment, he thought of enjoying Lanka after winning Lanka. Even before winning Lanka, he had given it away to Vibhishan. What can we learn from this? What practical lesson can we learn from this? You see, relationships is what keeps all of us going. We all have experienced this in our life. If we introspect, if we really want to inspire somebody, we have to have loving, trusting relationship with them. We can come and we can influence people, we can impress people with our scholarship, with our expertise at whatever, our management, the way we talk, the way we do kirtan, whatever our knowledge, whatever expertise we have, we can impress people. But the greatest force that fuels inspiration is relationship. It is relationship. For example, if we want devotees to come for satsang, or if we want devotees to come for whatever devotional practices, we want them to show up for Janmashtami to do various services, we want them to show up for Rath Yatra to decorate the Rath, to do cleaning, Marjanam, this, whatever services are required, we can inspire them by our loving relationships. If we have deep relationship with them, they will come because they feel inspired out of love. It is said, I don't care how much you know, I don't care how much you know until I know how much you care. This is a fact, my dear friends. This is a fact. I'm stressing this point because I have experienced this in my own life. So we as we go along in life, like Gaur Gopal Prabhu says, life is a school of hard knocks. We make mistakes, we fall down, and we learn so much. As long as we are in this conditioned life, we will make mistakes. And I have also made so many mistakes, and we learn. But this one lesson that I have learned from my mistakes is, devotees function best not when they are forced. Devotees function best not when we put fear in their heart. Follow Ekadashi, otherwise you'll go to hell. Do this, otherwise you'll go to hell. Distribute Prabhupada's books, otherwise Prabhupada will not be happy with you. We cannot inspire devotees with threats, with philosophy, with fear. Devotees get best inspired when they are motivated, when they are inspired by love, by loving relationships. Loving relationships. Lord Ramchandra knew that he could not stay in Lanka for a long time. How could he have personal relationship with the Lankavasis? He chose someone local. with whom the population of Lanka could relate to, who could stay there and give them ongoing encouragement, ongoing inspiration. And he gave that kingdom to Vibhishan. Similarly, Kishkindha Kshetra, he gave it to Sugriv. He chose the leaders properly. He chose able leaders who were devotees, who were righteous. But he gave it to those people who could give continuity of care. This is very important. Why it is important? Because sometimes we also have this conquering spirit. That I have got so many people, I have got so many followers, I have got so many people attending my programs. But can you give them one-to-one attention? Can you have one-on-one relationships with them? Can you nurture them? Can you inspire them with your loving relationships, with your caring attitude? That is the question we have to ask ourselves. If we cannot, then we should delegate it to the right people who can do it. We must admit and accept our limitations. This is one lesson that we can learn from this. I was just reflecting on this and thought like this.
So what time it is? It is
already. I wanted to discuss a little bit about Sripad Madhvacharya also. But there is no time. It is already 12:15. So we will end the class here. So these are just some of the thoughts I wanted to share about Lord Ram's victory over Ravan. What was his attitude? What lessons we can learn? And how Lord Ramchandra purifies. Even though he is, the pranam mantra of Lord Ram is Loka Abhiramamu Ranaranga Dhiramu Rajivanetram Raghuvam Sanatham Karunya Rupam Karunakarantam Shri Ramachandram Sharanam Prapadde Loka Abhiramam Ranaranga Dhiram. You know, he's very very powerful in battle. He's most powerful in battle. Very unforgiving in his battles. But at the same time, he is Karunya Rupam Karuna Karantam. He is very merciful. So whatever punishment Lord Ram gives us, whatever punishment Krishna gives us, the punishment may be painful, but through that punishment there is always elevation. Sometimes when we get angry, we punish our subordinates because we are angry with them. Why did you do this? You do this now. This is the punishment. Even children, sometimes we punish them out of spite, out of anger. Such punishment does not lead to elevation. Does it make sense? See, when Narad Muni punished Nalakuvera and Manigrih, he punished them, he cursed them, go become trees. But that punishment led to elevation because it was done out of love. So similarly, Lord Ram, he may have punished so many people, but his punishment always leads to elevation. Even Vali, when he was killed, the last words of Vali are recorded in Valmiki Ramayana. Such a beautiful prayer Vali spoke just before dying. Such a beautiful verse he spoke. It is a very beautiful prayer. So Vali had this Rambana in his heart, and he was leaving his body. He looked at Lord Ramchandra, and Lord Ramchandra had not revealed that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is Purushottam, he is Narottam, he is Supreme Personality of Godhead to anybody. But Vali, who was so full of arrogance, so full of pride, was completely purified by the punishment of Lord Ram. And his last prayer, he instructs his son Angad to serve Lord Ram under the guidance of Sugriv. After doing all this, he speaks his last verse, which is a prayer at the lotus feet of Lord Ram. He was gazing at the beautiful face of Lord Ram and he spoke this verse. Vali said, Sharabitaptena Vicheta Samaya Pradushitattvam Yadajanata Vibho
idam mahendropama bhima vikrama prasaditattvam kshamame nareshwar.
See, this prayer has got different parts. I will just try to explain. Shara means arrow.
Shara vitapte navicheta samaya.
First, Vali, in the first part of this, there are four lines, four parts. In the first line, Vali is explaining how he is humbled by Lord Ram. Vali was very proud and arrogant about his strength. He is telling Lord Ram, Shara vitaptena, your arrow, Shara, taptena, tapa means tap, is tormenting me. Your arrow is tormenting me and vicheta samaya. I have lost all my, vicheta means I have become lifeless. I have lost all my potency. I have lost all my vitality.
Sharabi taptena vicheta samaya.
Maya means me.
Pradushitattvam yadajanata vibho.
Pradushan means pollution.
Pradushitattvam.
Tvam means you. I have blasphemed you. Just like pollution is caused by all toxic fumes, I have spoken toxic words against you. When I was coming out of my palace to fight Sugriv, my wife warned me that Sugriv has made alliance with Lord Ram. Please don't go and fight with Sugriv. And I said, Ram, that Vanvasi, that helpless man who is crying for his wife, he has made alliance with that Ram. What is Ram going to do to me? I spoke polluting words against you. So in the second line, Vali is admitting his fault, his mistake.
Pradushitattvam yadajanata vibho.
And he's also calling him ignorant. Ajanata. I did this out of my ignorance. Shame on me. And he's addressing Lord Ram as Vibho, which is a very respectful term.
So, Sharavitapte navicheta samaya pradushitattvam yadajanata vibho. Idam mahendro pama bhima vikrama.
Bhima means strength, vikram means valor. Mahendra means Indradev. Oh Ram, Lord Ram, you are appearing as a human being, but I declare it that you have more strength, you have more valor, you have more power, you are greater in strength than even Indradev. Why is Vali comparing Ram to Indra? Because Vali is a Vanar. And he was a son of Indradev. Indradev's son was Vali and Suryadev's son was Sugriv. They were both born in the Vanara clan, but they were sons of the demigods. So Vali, for him, because his father was Indradev, for him the most powerful person is Indra. So he's comparing Lord Ram to Indradev, that you are greater in strength than even Mahendra. Lord Indra, King Indra.
Idam Mahendro Pama Bhima Vikrama Prasaditattvam Kshamame Nareshwar.
So third line, he is glorifying Lord Ram. The first line, he's talking about how fallen he is. In the second line, he's admitting his mistakes, that I blasphemed you, I was ignorant. In the third line, he's glorifying the strength and the valor of Lord Ram. And in the fourth line, he is praying to Lord Ram. So what is he praying?
Idam Mahendro Pama Bhima Vikrama Prasaditattvam.
Prasad means mercy. He is praying to Lord Ram, please be merciful to me.
Prasaditattvam Kshamame.
Shama means forgiveness. Please be merciful to me. And if you so desire, please forgive me. Please forgive me. And in the end, he reveals his sweet realization. He addresses Lord Ram as Nareshwar. Nowhere is Lord Ram addressed as Nareshwar. He is addressed as Ram. He is addressed as, son of Dasharath Maharaj. He is addressed as the Prince of Ayodhya. But Nareshwar literally means Supreme Purushottam. Nareshwar. Purushottam. Supreme Personality of God. He addressed, so he got the realization at the end that this Ram is, who is just roaming around the forest like a Kshatriya prince, is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So even Vali was elevated at the last moment.
Sharabhitapte navicheta samaya pradushitattvam yadajanata vibho idam mahendro pamabhima vikrama prasaditattvam kshamame nareshwar.
There are just two more quick lessons that I wanted to share that we can learn from this Leela. And because to speak about Lord Ram without speaking about the glories of Mother Sita is incomplete. We are talking about how Lord Ramchandra was a great fighter. He did this, did that, tremendous effort, collaborated with his devotees, killed Ravan. But what about Sita Devi? She was also silently fighting her battle with Ravan in Lanka for one full year. So we'll talk just 2 minutes about Sita Devi also. When Ravan went to Sita Devi, he tried to tempt her in Ashok Vatika. Every morning he would get ready, wear beautiful dress, put on beautiful perfumed oils on his body, decorate his body, and with bards singing beautiful verses in glorification of Ravan, with musicians playing musical instruments in rhythm with those Ravan Stuti, he would walk marching every morning as the sun rose in the eastern direction. Ravan would march with his chelas, with his followers into the Ashoka garden. He would go straight in the presence of Sita Devi and propose to her. Because he had a curse, he could not force himself on Sita Devi. So he had to somehow convince her. So he would try to impress her with his beauty. He would try to impress her with all the eulogists who were glorifying Ravan. And then he would try to impress her and tempt her. Tempt Sita Devi with wealth, with material enjoyment, with opulences. And what would Mother Sita Devi do? She would pick up a small blade of grass, a trina, hold it as a symbolic partition between her and Ravan. And like a chaste wife of Sri Ram, she would refuse. Very strong words, she would refuse. Once she told Ravan, when Ravan was trying to tempt her, that come, accept me as your husband, look at me, there is nobody more handsome than me. Your husband has been bereft of his own kingdom. He has no possessions. He is just roaming like a madman in the forest. On other days, he would tell Sita Devi that, oh, I just got the news that Ram has been killed. He has been eaten by wild animals. Sometimes he would say, he has been killed by some Rakshasas. And he would even make a fake head of Ram and throw it in front of Sita Devi. This is the head of Ram. I just killed him. With his Maya Shakti, with his illusory energy, illusory potency, mystic powers, Ravan could do that. He could create a false head of Shri Ram. And he would throw it in front of Sita to break her resolve, to break her morale. And he would tempt her, he would threaten her. One day he was tempting her, I will make you my principal queen, Mandodari, the queen of Lanka, will be your maid servant. You will enjoy such opulences like even the demigods cannot enjoy. I will make you the queen of all the three worlds. Just accept me. Look at me, how handsome I am. Sita Devi held that trina between her and Ravan, and she spoke these immortal words which are recorded in Valmiki Ramayana. Whenever I feel tempted, I have tried to remember this prayer of Shri Ram's Ladini Shakti, Srimati Sita Devi. Mahatmanastu mam partha daivim prakriti ashrita. Our whole aim is to take ashray, shelter of the daivi prakriti, the Ladini Shakti of Krishna, Srimati Radharani. So what did Sita Devi,
say to Ravan when Ravan was trying to tempt? Very instructive for us. We should memorize this verse. And whenever we feel tempted by pratishtha, by fame, by money, by illicit sex, whatever temptations come our way, if we can take shelter of Krishna's Ladini Shakti and remember this prayer by Sita Devi, it gives us great strength to say no to the temptations. Otherwise, we become so weak if our sadhana is not good that we say no to the temptations. And the temptations saying yes, and our no dies out. And the yes of temptations wins over. That is what happened to Ajamil. Ajamil was a Brahmin. He was chanting Vedic mantras. He was saying Vedic prayers when he saw the prostitute uniting with that man. He knew it was wrong. He tried to control his senses. He prayed. But he was not fixed up in his sadhana. So in spite of praying, in spite of saying those prayers, he fell victim to lust. And he married that prostitute. So our prayers have to be strong. Our sadhana has to be strong so that we don't say, no. We put our foot down and say, no to temptations. I will not do this. I will not have illicit sex. I will not intoxicate. I will not gamble. I will not do this. I will not commit this aparad. Where do we get that strength from? That strength comes from sadhana. And sadhana is shravan, kirtanam, vandanam. So vandanam also is a anga of our sadhana, along with shravan, kirtanam, smaranam. So by chanting these prayers from the scriptures, we are doing vandanam. So Mother Sita Devi, she told Ravan, just as the sun was rising in the morning, Ravan had come to her. And there was this trina, blade of grass. There was Ravan, and on this side, the sun was rising. So Sita Devi, looking at the sun, holding that symbolic partition of trina between her and Ravan, Sita Devi spoke this verse. She said, Shakya lobhayitum naham aishwaryena dhanenava ananya raghavenaham bhaskarena prabhayatha. That shakya lobhayitum naham, it is not possible to tempt me. Shakya lobhayitum naham. You cannot tempt me, Ravan. How? Aishwaryena dhanena va. You cannot tempt me by opulences, aishwarya, wealth, dhan. It's not possible. Forget it. Shakya lobhayitum naham aishwaryena dhanena va. Ananya raghavena ham. I cannot be separated. Ananya, I cannot be separated from my Raghav. Ananya Raghavena ham Bhaskarena Prabhayatha. Just like you cannot separate the rays of the sun, Bhaskar. You cannot separate sun rays from the sun. You cannot separate me from my Raghav. So when the temptations come, we can chant this verse. That you cannot separate me from the Daivi Prakriti of Krishna. I am taking shelter of Srimati Radharani. I will not do this. Shakya lobhayitum naham aishwaryena dhanena va ananya raghavena ham bhaskarena prabhayatha. It is 12:35. So there was one more thing I wanted to discuss, but we can do that in the future classes. We will end here. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. All glories to Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj, Sri Ram Vijay Utsav Ki Jai, Shripad Madhvacharya Ki Jai, His Holiness Bhakti Swarup Damodar Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnav Vrinda Ki Jai, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanat Pranam, and glorious to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Very nice to hear today in program. Thank you. Lot of instruction you share with us. Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you very much, Mataji. Thank you for your kind words. Hare Krishna. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna, Adigatata Prabhu, Dandavat Solka, Srila Prabhupada. Thank you for the very, very beautiful Katha time, Prabhu. It was very wonderful. I really liked something that you said about the concept, the realization that you were sharing, that it is very important to have the local king take care, in the sense like the local devotees or devotees who can relate more and give constant care to actually take care, you know, instead of trying to think that, how to put this, like, you know, I'm the one who is going to take care of everybody, or, you know, constantly having that sense of authority over a huge crowd, saying that I cannot let go. But, you know, I mean, that happens with a lot of people. It happens everywhere. So the idea of, you know, even when it comes to a bhakti riksha, for example, the idea of, you know, making the group smaller so that, you know, and handing it over to others so that we can kind of have a better relationship with the crowd. I thought that's very important, and it was very nice that you brought it out as a realization while speaking today. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Prithvi Vilasini Mataji. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, this is Naveen Prabhuji. Thank you so much for the class, and this is an auspicious day. And on this day, like, thanks for the beautiful class. Like, I see myself as a Ravana, and who is waiting for Rambanam. And like, I see the Rambanam as your shelter. Like, we need classes like this, and to see actual who is Ravan. I was thinking as a Ravan, as an enemy of everyone, but as you said, it's within us, and we need shelter of all Vaishnavas, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for the class. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Naveen Prabhu. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Yeah, I just have one question. I don't know if you remember saying that the enmity that one has goes with the body. I forget which character you were talking about at the time when you said that. Do you remember?
Yes, when Ravan was killed, Lord Ram instructed Vibhishan that the enmity should end with the death of the body.
Yeah, so I was thinking that for one thing, you know, we leave the ghost body, but we carry the subtle body and its mentality with us as we transmigrate. And so that was one thing that, you know, kept me from being able to reconcile that statement. And also the fact that, you know, snakes, the snake body is, a person takes a snake body, from my understanding, because, you know, if one has a lot of enmity within them, you know, I like a good recipe for getting a snake body in their next life, or some subsequent life anyway. So I'm just trying to reconcile what I've said with the fact that, with what Ram said, you know, that enmity dies with the body. Even though we take our subtle body with us, you know, and even though, you know, otherwise how can someone get, for example, a snake body that's full of enmity?
So what is the question, Mother Experiment?
My question is, I don't understand how it is so that enmity that one has dies with the body when we do carry the enmity that is within our subtle body from one life to the next. You know, when we die, the subtle body doesn't die. We carry that to the next body. And so how is that the enmity that we have during a present lifetime dies with the death of the gross body?
Yes, Mataji. So when a person dies, we handle the dead body in a way that will uplift the person who has passed away. This is very important to understand. For example, if I die, my body will be cremated. So my dead body will be taken, it will be placed on wood, and a fire will be lit. Cremation. So what essentially we are doing is, throughout our life, we make so many offerings to the gods or to the Supreme God. And it is said that after we die, the dead body, which is otherwise useless, is given as an offering to Agni. That is the meaning of cremation. That you are given this dead body as your last offering to Agni Dev, who is a great devotee. So that is the meaning of cremation. And then there is Shraddha ceremony, there is funeral rites, all the pujas, everything that is done. It is done so that the soul of the person who, the soul which was occupying that dead body will get further elevation. So why should the enmity end with the death of the body? Because that person was committing atrocities, committing sinful activities through the body. But that body is now dead. So that soul is not able to perform any sinful activities now until it goes to the next body, the next destination. So now let us forget the enmity and let us do the last rites that are supposed to be done so that the person who died will be elevated. So that the tendencies to commit sins, all the bad desires, they will get purified. So the problem with the bad person is, as long as they have the body, they will commit sinful activities. Ravan was committing sinful activities with his body. Now the body is dead. So instead of harboring that hatred, harboring that ill feeling towards Ravan, better option is, now he's not able to perform any sinful activities. So honor the dead body with the last rites, do the prayers, so that Ravan in his next birth will be elevated and he will not continue with that same demoniac tendency. That is the attitude. Does that make sense, Mataji?
Actually, there's still confusion for me because, you know, if by offering the body to Agni Dev, we become purified, then how is it possible that a person in their subsequent life still have these demoniac tendencies? How come they're not born, you know, completely pure? You know, why do we see that people are born, they're actually born with demoniac qualities, even though they might have been cremated or something, you know?
Right. So this purification is a process. It is not that just because the last rites are performed or someone prays, the whole problem is solved. There is 100% complete purification. Just like we tell our devotee friends, right? Please pray that I'm able to overcome my lust, I'm able to overcome my anger. Please pray that, you know, I'm able to overcome my pride. So it's not that when the devotees pray, suddenly we become pure devotees. We attain anartha nivritti. It's a process. The prayers help. Similarly, when we do antim samskar, when you do the last rites for a departed soul, the prayers help. But still that soul has to continue its journey. Continue its journey of purification. Continue its journey of spiritual evolution. So our prayers will help. The antim samskar, the last rites will help. But it is not that it's going to be accomplished in just one shot. So the journey will continue.
Mm-hmm. So there's some alleviation of I don't know, some maybe sinful tendencies will happen. Yeah. But
it helps, but still the journey still has to be continued by the soul. Mm-hmm. That is what Lord Ram is saying, that now this Ravan, who was committing sinful activities through his body, that body has been killed. He's not able to do any of those bad things now. So let us give up our enmity and let us pray for him. So that let's do the last rites, which essentially means praying. We are offering that body to Agnidev as a last offering of that person. And, you know, we pray. We do
something. I mean, he can't do it through that body, but he can do it through the next body.
Right, but we have to be the well-wisher now. That body is dead with which he was committing the sinful activities. So now we have two choices. Either we can hold that anger in our heart, either we can hold that hatred in our heart, or we can reconcile to the fact that now that body which was committing the sinful activities is dead, now this soul is there. Let me pray for the benefit of this soul on the soul's onward journey. Mm-hmm. Because that life is over. Now, onward journey, yes, the soul will carry forth the previous conditionings. But either we can curse that person that in your next life also you will be born in a demoniac person, you will suffer, you will have leprosy, you will have this and that. Or we can take a more mature stand and say that, okay, you know, you did some atrocious things with this body, but you have received the fitting punishment. You have been slain. So now I pray that in your next life, your consciousness is purified and you have a better... You perform better activities. So we have these two choices. So Lord Ramchandra is telling that we should choose the latter. We should pray for the person who has departed instead of holding the grudge.
Okay. All right, so thank you.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Sarvat Pranam. All the wishes to Prabhupada. All the wishes to Maharaj. Prabhuji, I have a question. Children like Lord Sri Ram and Mother Sita, they had come in the Leela avatar, right? So did they know that they were the Supreme Personality, or did they know that they were the gods in their avatar?
Hare Krishna. When Krishna appears as a Leela avatar, all the Leelas take place under the predominance of the Leela Shakti of Krishna. So the answer to your question is yes and no. Yes, Krishna knows that he is God. Yes, Krishna knows that he is God. But again, under...
Sorry to trouble, Prabhuji. We hear a background noise. Sorry. Yeah. Now it's good, Prabhuji.
Yeah, Hare Krishna. So, Krishna is, the Leelas are performed under the influence of the Leela Shakti. So the answer to your question, Mataji, is yes and no. Yes, Lord Ramchandra knows that he is Supreme Personality of Godhead, but at the same time, when he is the Leela avatar, he does not know. Because see, if Lord Ram knows that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if he knows that Ravan has not kidnapped the real Sita, Ravan has only abducted the Maya Sita, the real Sita is always cannot be separated from him, then why is he crying? Why is Lord Ram asking the trees and the birds, have you seen Sita? Hey Sita, why is he crying? So is he acting? No, he's not acting. He's actually crying. He's actually feeling separation from Sita. But at the same time, he's God. So he knows that he is Supreme Personality of Godhead. So answer is yes and no. Even when Krishna is fearful of Mother Yashoda, that, you know, he's having terror in his eyes. Atanka netram. It is described in Damodarashtakam Sutra. Not just bhay netram, atanka netram. He didn't have fear in his eyes. He had terror in his eyes when Mother Yashoda was chasing him with a stick in her hand. So Krishna is not acting. He actually was scared. He actually was crying. That is the sweetness of Krishna's Leela. Under the influence of Leela Shakti, these things happen. So when Krishna showed the universal form to Mother Yashoda, she immediately, for that moment, she realized that, oh, maybe my son Kanha is God. But then under the influence of the Yoga Maya, Leela Shakti, again she forgot. When Garga Muni told Nanda Maharaj the glories of Krishna and Balaram, that he is this, in the previous yugas he appeared this and this, he is non-different from Narayan. Temporarily they understood the godhood of Krishna. But then again immediately, by the influence of Lila Shakti, they forgot. So similarly, Lord Ram, yes, he always knows that he is God, but at the same time he doesn't know. Because of his Leela, his Leela Shakti. Makes everyone forget. So this is Achintya. But Lord Ram, to perform, otherwise the Leela has no meaning. You know, then it is just acting. But it is not acting. Lord Ram actually feels. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knows that, oh, I am Krishna, then how can he experience Radha Bhava? No, so he comes under the, you know, the Leela Shakti, the Yogamaya Shakti of Krishna, assists Krishna so that Krishna can experience these loving exchanges. Krishna can experience Vipralamba. Krishna can experience friendship. Krishna can experience so many different transcendental emotions when he comes as Leela Avatar. So Lord Ramchandra also actually experienced separation from his wife. He actually experienced union with his wife. He actually experienced the friendship of Sugriv. He actually felt dependent on Hanuman when Lakshman was injured. He actually felt that without Hanuman, Lakshman could not have been saved. And saying this, he embraced Hanuman. Tum mama priya Bharata hi sama bhai. You are as dear to me as my brother Bharat. So this is not acting. This is actually he is feeling. And he is able to feel all this because of his Leela Shakti. The Shaktiman comes under the influence of the Leela Shakti. Does that help, Mataji?
Yes, thank you, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Prabhu, one more question if you have time. Prabhu, like this Dashera, we say like it is the, we have to overcome this anger and everything, you have to let go all these. But when you have a feeling for someone which is not like, which troubles you every now and then, how to let go? Because being Dashera is the right moment to think about it. How to let go these feelings which keep on haunting you, those experiences or those things which you come back and then you cannot forgive a person or you cannot let go things. How do we deal with that? Like how, like because just dealing with ourselves and our own speculations is not helping. So if we relate it to scriptures and then have to seek help, how would you guide, Prabhu?
Hare Krishna. Mataji, I am totally unqualified to answer this question. Your question is how to give up anger, hatred, envy towards another person, how to forgive. Mataji, this is I cannot speak with realization. So I cannot answer this question. If you ask me how to chant 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra every day, I can try. Because I have taken a vow to do that, I am doing it. But if you ask me how to give up anger, how to forgive, how to give up envy, my words will be empty. So when you have the fortune of being in the presence of a very, very great devotee, I don't know where you live, but if you meet your spiritual master or you're in the presence of a great devotee, some wonderful sadhu comes, you should please ask this question. Because I myself have not attained that state. Our scriptures say that with good sadhana and with sincere prayers, taking shelter of Hari Guru and Vaishnavas, we can attain this state. But I have not attained it, Mataji, so it would be very arrogant of me to try to answer this question. I am working on it myself. So yeah, I am in the same boat. Is that okay, Mataji?
Thank you, Prabhu. We are in Dallas over here. So I hope we can talk to some Guru Maharaj when we come over here.
Thank yes, you so yes, much. You are in Dallas. So Dallas, so many wonderful devotees.
This is Sita Prithvi and Rameshwar Mohan Prabhu from Dallas.
Oh, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. My humble obeisances to you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Hare Kadadar Prabhu. I know you're running out of time, so I'll make a quick comment. I think you answered the question, actually, as you were giving, taking shelter of Guru Sadhu and Sastra, I was thinking, and praying very hard. My comment was that I think it would be a wonderful class to actually describe the war between Ram and Ravana with all the sounds I think the kids would very much enjoy it, so that should probably be on your to-do list, my request for the children's class. So, and also for us actually going through the Valmiki Ramayanam again with both you, Preeti Vilas and Mataji. You are enlightening us day by day. Thank you so much. And can you share that last prayer of Sita Devi on our Bhakti Sangha chat group?
Yes, yes, Mataji, I will share it. I will share it. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Does anyone else have any questions or comments for Prabhuji?
Sorry, Mataji, what did you say?
No. I was just asking if anyone else has any questions or comments.
Yeah, so Prithvi Lakshmi Mataji, just one quick thing. Today is also the very auspicious day when Shripad Ayendra Prabhu started the 24-hour kirtan in Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan. And it has never stopped. It's been 32 years and this 24-hour kirtan has not started. I'm here with Arjun and he's just telling me.
Jai.
One thing, Madhuri. Arjun Prabhu wants to make a comment first.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Dandavat. Welcome to the conference call.
Dandavat Pranam. All good. Shishila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna.
So I'm just reminded of a small point. So Ayendra Prabhu had started the 24-hour kirtan 32 years back, or today, that's in 1986. And Ayendra Prabhu always would mention the point that whatever spiritual we start today on Ram Vijay Utsav, whatever spiritual anga of bhakti it would be, Ayendra Prabhu would say that whatever we start today will never ever end. That's the power of Lord Sri Ram. So you would say that whatever good spiritual we start, like chanting more japa or reading more of the Shastras or doing more of Harinam Sankirtan, I would say that because of Srila Prabhupada's mercy and Sri Ram's mercy, that anga of bhakti will never stop and it will just keep on increasing. So that is the reason he chose this day to start the 24-hour kirtan in Krishna Balaram Mandir. So I just remind us points. I thought I could share this with Adhika Dadapur and all the devotees here.
Very cool. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming to the call and letting all of us know. It's wonderful to hear. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Arjun Prabhu. Thank you, Prithvi Velasani Mataji. We can end now.
Thank you very much, Adhika Dadapur. Very, very wonderful class. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
And instructor. As well. Okay. Hare Krishna.
Thank you all so much. You can end the call. Vancha kalpataru vyascha krapa sandho vyayavacha patitanam pavani idhya vaishnavi idhya namo namaha. Ananta koti vaishnavrinda ki jai shala prabhu paadu ki jai. All glory to the assembled devotees. Shri Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Ram vidyo maha shakram vidyo sarv ki jai. Praise Adi Gadadhar Prabhu ki jai.
Nanda Koti Krishna Vrindavan ki jai. Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.